Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness. On today's show, what do you get when you combine NASA technology with an approach as old as Mother Nature? An upstate New York company is about to launch a cleaner, greener way to improve the air indoors.
But first, you've seen cereal boxes and food bars labeled all natural, good for you, and wholesome ingredients. Sounds enticing, right? But do these phrases mean anything? What obligation do manufacturers have to consumers when it comes to food labels? Who sets the standards, and are we getting what we expect?
Joining us is Dr. Marion Nessel, Paulette Goddard Professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health, and Professor of Sociology at New York University. She's the author of more than a half a dozen books, including Food Politics, which recently came out in a 10th anniversary edition.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Nessel.
Oh, glad to be here.
Consumers are influenced by labels and product descriptions while they're out shopping. I see this in my own life, and I'm always reading labels. And we are triggered by specific words, but manufacturers know that. So how manipulated are we?
Well, the purpose of food companies is to sell food products. That's their job. And so they're going to do everything they possibly can to encourage people to buy their products. And because the food system is enormously competitive, we have far too much food available, much more than the country needs on average. Food companies have to work really hard to sell their products. Now, you can either call that manipulation or marketing, but the effect of it is to sell products.
Now, when you say manipulation and marketing, and there's also actual deceit, and I want to ask you about a lawsuit that I read about in the New York Times this past summer. General Mills is being sued because they do not have accurate labeling. There were two mothers that were very conscientious and careful shoppers. One of the women had a daughter who she thought reacted poorly to certain processed foods and chemical foods. So they were buying a product from General Mills that claimed 100% natural on the package. The fact was, it wasn't 100% natural. And that seems a really dishonest. That's more than twisting it or embellishing. It seems like a factual thing that is incorrect. So my question.
No, I think that most companies stick to the letter of the law, if not the intent of the law. And there is no official FDA definition of natural.
So what is the law? Let me just ask you to define. When you say the letter of the law, is there, what is the law?
Well, there are regulations. There are food regulations that the FDA puts out, and it doesn't have one for natural. It leaves natural. It has a very, very vague definition. It says that as long as it's truthful and not misleading, misleading is in the eye of the perceiver. And then they can use the term, and there's some, it's not supposed to have anything added to it that's artificial, but the FDA considers high fructose corn syrup to be natural. So companies have a lot of leeway in doing this, and it doesn't violate any kind of regulation. The real problem is with the regulations.
So what do you think we need to force the manufacturers to be a little more straightforward and honest about their labeling?
Well, I think lawsuits are very effective in the absence of regulation. I mean, if you don't have an FDA that is willing to take action on something like the word natural, which means a great deal to consumers, and people think they have an idea of what natural means, then you sue. And that will get companies' attention, and they will either change their practices or be subject to lawsuits and boycotts and consumer distress and all kinds of other things that companies would rather not have to deal with.
Right.
And if it gets bad enough, then the companies will go to the FDA and say, look, we're just in so much trouble over this all the time. Why don't you give us a level playing field? Why don't you give us a regulation, and then all companies will have to follow it, and we won't be at a competitive disadvantage for doing what we think is the right thing to do. That's why regulations are useful.
Yes. So where are we in terms of, let's take that as the example. The term in this case was 100% natural. What else is going on that I might not know about besides this particular lawsuit against General Mills? Would you say that's one of the hot-button terms that needs a stricter definition and law enforcement?
Yes, and that and added sugars, I think, are the two big ones that are under discussion right now. I recently signed a petition to the FDA to have added sugars added to the nutrition facts label because there's a difference between added sugars and those that are naturally present. There's that word again, naturally present in food. And I think those two go together. People want to know what's being added to their foods, and unless you're a very sophisticated label reader, it's very difficult to figure that out.
If you're just joining us, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. Our guest today is Dr. Marion Nessel. We're talking about food labeling and the FDA and what manufacturers are doing to attract attention to get people to buy their products, and they may be stretching the truth. And in particular right now, just the term 100% natural, what does it mean? Do you have to have a minimum? Do you have to prove anything? How will the FDA make that definition? Do they have form a committee? What's the process that might take place?
Oh, the FDA has a very elaborate process. Its regulatory people propose a rule. That proposed rule gets put in the Federal Register and is then open to public comment, and interested parties will write in over some period of time. The FDA will then take those comments into consideration and then do a final rule, and then that'll go into effect. It takes years.
Dr. Nessel, can you give us an example of where that has been successfully done, where consumers have gotten together and forced something to change?
Sure. The trans fat label is an obvious example. The Center for Science in the Public Interest spent 12 years begging, pleading, petitioning the FDA to list trans fats on the food label, and eventually the FDA did. And overnight, companies removed trans fats from their products. So there's hardly a processed food in the supermarket that reports any trans fat in its products. I thought that was a great success.
Dr. Nessel, the removal of trans fats occurred at a time probably when social media and blogging and all of that internet sharing wasn't really going on. Do you see this ability for consumers to band together to be an effective mode of implementing change?
Well, it can be if it's not overused. I mean, certainly the blogger who was concerned about the beef product in hamburger referred to unattractively as pink slime generated hundreds of thousands of signatures on a petition to get that product labeled and out of the food supply. And that was a very effective use of social media. Others are less successful. If you get the attention of the press and you get the attention of people who are sending a lot of viral messages around, you can be very effective in generating a lot of attention to your issue.
You had alluded to the differences between claiming something is 100% natural, and then, of course, there's the term organic, which we do know that the FDA regulates. Yet consumers seem to shy away from the term organic and move toward natural. Why do you think that's so?
Well, because first of all, it's the USDA that does organics in the complicated system that we have. But the organic rules are set by the Department of Agriculture's Organic Standards Board, and not everybody thinks that those rules really address the issues that they care about in the food supply. For example, there are a lot of chemicals that are allowed to be used in organic production that some people feel aren't natural and aren't the kinds of things that they particularly want used in producing their food. There are also loopholes in the law, questions about whether the inspections are adequate, and a lot of concern about the fact that sustainability is not built into the organic regulations, so people don't trust it. And you know, I think most people have an idea of what they think natural means, which is a food that hasn't been processed and doesn't have things added to it. Well, the food industry would argue that all foods are processed in one way or another. And so what you're really talking about is a degree of processing, and that's then you're into the eye of the beholder, and these things get complicated. But I think the FDA should come out with a definition for natural. It would solve a lot of problems.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking with Dr. Marion Nessel about food labeling and how consumers make the choices that they do and how food is marketed to us, particularly in the labeling and description of foods. I've heard people say, as a rule of thumb, if you're shopping for something and you see a food label and it's got more than 7 ingredients, that's probably something you'd want to shy away from, that foods with fewer than 7 ingredients are probably more natural. Can you speak to this? Is there any legitimacy to this, or is this one of those things that people just say?
Oh, I actually say 5 ingredients.
5?
you know, it's somewhat facetious. But if you see a food with a great big long list of ingredients and you don't recognize what they are, then you know that there have been a lot of chemical additives thrown in there and that you've got a process that's not very close to what the original one was. I mean, for bread as an example, to make bread you only need 5 ingredients. And if you've got 30 or 40 the way most supermarket breads do, then you know that a lot of preservatives have been put in there to make sure they don't get stale, and that kind of thing. And you might not like them, and they certainly do change the taste. I don't think there's any question about that.
But you'll have manufacturers argue that they do this for the consumer's good because shelf stability is very important.
It is important for the manufacturers, maybe more important for the manufacturers than it is for consumers. So my rules about supermarket shopping are don't buy anything with more than 5 ingredients. If it's got an ingredient you can't pronounce, leave it there. If it has anything artificial, leave it there. But those are my rules, and people have to decide these things for themselves.
Actually, in the couple of minutes that we have remaining with you, this kind of dovetails to a question that we both wondered about with the amount of experience and knowledge you have. What do you think consumers should know as shoppers? We talked about an ingredient list and freshness and try to stay away from processed foods. But what else from your vantage point, if you were giving your own friends advice so that they're very knowledgeable when they go shopping, what are the most important things we should be paying attention to?
Well, the first thing to understand is that the purpose of the entire layout of a supermarket is to sell food products, and that there's a sales pitch going on with every single product, every single layout. I mean, these people are in business. These are businesses. Their job is to sell food. Your job as a consumer is to find foods that are going to feed your family in some sort of healthy way, and the best way to do that is to buy real foods and cook them. And if you can't do that and you are buying foods in packages, then you follow the rules. You don't buy them if they have a whole lot of ingredients. You try to do things that have as few ingredients as possible and are as close to the natural foods as possible. And then I throw in another one, don't buy anything with a health claim on it because those are invariably misleading. Or with a cartoon on the package because those are aimed at selling products to children, and you really want kids eating adult foods, not foods that are being marketed to them.
All good advice, and we appreciate so much your sharing that with us and appreciate your time today on Take Care, Dr. Nessel.
Oh, my pleasure.
Dr. Marion Nessel is a professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health and professor of sociology at New York University and the author of Food Politics. For more on Dr. Nessel and the politics of food and nutrition, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.
Coming up next, how the lungs of the earth may soon be bringing us cleaner, greener air indoors. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.